This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Welcome to the Pageant Masterclass. I'm Ashley Williams-Allen. Let's get started. Okay, so today we have part two of my interview with Kristen White. As I said in the previous episode, Kristen is a pageant vet who has competed in the Miss America and Miss USA systems, and she was crowned Miss Black USA in 2008. Kristen then used her experience and expertise to build a remarkable career in the beauty industry, including becoming a sought-after hair and makeup artist for TV and film productions. Kristen has been incredibly successful, not just in pageants, but also in her career as a hair and makeup artist. In part one of my interview, Kristen gave some really insightful advice to anyone competing in pageants. Now, today's portion of the interview is less about practical pageant advice and more about having a winner's mindset. Kristen and I both work in the entertainment industry, and it's clear that Kristen has taken her winner's mindset and applied it to her career. I think her wisdom is extremely valuable to anyone who's looking to succeed in any area of life. So here's part two of my interview with Kristen. Okay, let's just quickly talk about your overall pageant journey.
Oh boy. Okay. I started 2001. I did Miss Nashville. And it was in the Miss America program. And that was my very first pageant ever that I had ever done. I think I was 21 years old. And at that time, you could actually get judges' remarks. Girl, I know.
That is so helpful.
Very. It was the only year that that happened. And I don't know if that was like a Miss Nashville thing, but they gave you judges' comments, exactly what you scored and where you placed. So you actually knew, okay, I was second in interview, but I was fifth in swimsuit. And I'm an athlete at heart. And that's how I just looked at it. I looked at it like athletics. It's like, okay, I have an opponent. I want to know their stat report. I want to know what's on their roster. What are their weaknesses and strengths? What are my weaknesses and strengths? How do we stack up? How can I perform better? So for it spoke to my athletic mind of, oh God, okay. I did this thing. I competed. It just really fed my competitive spirit, and I just caught this bug. I did the Miss American system for a number of years. It took me 13 pageants, lucky 13. It took me 13 local pageants to get to the state for the first time. And then after I won my first local pageant, which was Miss Fulton County, that was my first trip. I went three times. I won everything but the actual title, like community service. I won swimsuits, I won talent, I won interview, like. And then I aged out and I went to the Miss USA system, which you know very well. And I did that for 3 years, for every year that I was eligible. And I did it in Miss Georgia USA. I was second runner up, first runner up, first runner up. And I was over it. And then a very good friend of mine, her name was April Dorsey. She's married but now, but at the time, her name was April Dorsey. She kind of entered me in Miss Black USA. I went kicking and screaming. Missed the entrance meeting. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm a vet. I've aged out at the tender age of 27. And I ended up going to the director at the time for Miss Black Georgia contacted me and was like, oh my God, you sound so interesting. I noticed you didn't come to the interest meeting, but your application has been put in and we want to accept you. And I was like, well, I cannot get away from these pageants. Like, what is happening? So I showed up to Miss Black Georgia and I did all the things. I won. And then I went to Miss Black USA and I won. That's my whole, I've done all sides of it. every side of it that you can think of. So
you're so experienced, and now you're also judging pageants. So with all of the knowledge you have, with a 360 view of pageantry, what is your advice to contestants?
Actually, before I judged, this answer would have been a little different. But after judging, it's not that it's different, but it just adds more context to it. So first part of my answer would be yourself. You know, if you know there's, and I know a lot of directors are going to be like, you are asking girls to be rebels and not listen. I am not. But I think sometimes when you have directors, so I'm speaking to a certain system of things. I know some USA state titles have locals or whatever, or you have prep teams, or even if you don't have a local, you'll hire these people or book these people or services to get you ready, which I think is wonderful. I used to be one of those people to get booked. So I'm by no means am I downplaying that, but I think girls get very desensitized to the fact that, but you are your best advocate. You know what you can produce. And then a lot of the times you are your best coach, meaning you're the one that's got to do all this stuff. You're the one that's got to go to the gym and be disciplined. You're the one that's got to do the community service work. And you're the one that has to come up with the plan of what is this that I'm going to present? Because you're the one that's got to sell it. So if you don't have faith in you and what you feel like you can present, it is going to be a rough battle. I've seen a lot of girls lose their identity. I've seen a lot of girls get kind of lost. You really want to do it, but you feel like you have to fit all these molds to make it happen. Lean into who you actually are when nobody's watching, and protect her at all costs, because that is the only product that you can sell authentically. Now, adding to that, after judging, we can smell it. We call BS. So if you are not authentic to who you are, I don't care how, you know, Ashley, we talked about this. I don't care how great and it's been wrapped in bows and packaged and you are sprayed and glazed and we know from the minute you open your mouth, we know from looking at your paperwork and looking at you, this is not real. Yeah. She doesn't like this. I don't believe her. I don't think she talks like this. I don't think this is who she is. We know. So that is my advice is, man, maintain who you are. Obviously be open to growth and things, but know who you are, because this pageant will give you an identity. You might want to make sure it's the one that you actually, you know, can embody. So on both sides, that would be my advice.
I think that's great advice. I mean, I feel like, you know, when we were judging together an interview, like the most refreshing interviews were seriously just the girls that were completely themselves, because you see this cookie cutter pattern and these correct, right answers. And it's like, I don't want to interact with that. So, you know,
no. And I'm okay if you make mistakes. You know, these are 20 something, sometimes teens or whatever. Talk to me like you're who you actually are. I don't expect you to be running against Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. You know, I'm not expecting you to like have all the answers to the world's problems, but you're also exceptional. This is something that is, it is a position that is exceptional. You are not the average girl. This is what this is. Miss So-and-so is supposed to be aspirational. So I want you to be your best self. I want you to be the best. I think I don't want you coming in and it's like we just pulled up and we had a drink at the bar and we're just shooting the breeze. It's like, well, no, I don't exactly want that. But I would like to want to. So just be yourself, you know, just, you know, speak in a way that is indicative of who you actually are and not just regurgitating, you know, what you think. Because when you get nervous and when you get anxious, that's going to go out the window anyway. You're going to fall back. You're going to fall back to what you know. So know yourself so that your fallback is authentic. Because as a judge, you do, especially if it's a long day, you appreciate the real ones. That and if they're real and they're a dynamic, it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's so refreshing. You know, sometimes I think pageant culture can squash a girl's genuine spirit. So you've been in the America system, USA system, you've seen it all. I think sometimes within pageants, there can be this unhealthy culture, and it's so easy to get caught up in comparison and cattiness and just to be too competitive. But you seem to have a really healthy competitive spirit. So how do you keep from getting caught up in all of it?
Honest answer, you do get caught up. And when you do it as long as I've done it, you don't get caught. Like, it's going to be kind of hard to, like, you know, not get caught up in the crosshairs and get snagged up here and there. And especially at such a pivotal age as those 20s. I guess this just goes back to when I say, like, really knowing who you are. For me, that was, I had to have people around that this pageant thing was not, you know, it kept me grounded. It kept me real. And it also was a great reminder of, hey, that's not you. I know what you're trying to do, but I don't think that's not really who you are. It's important to have, you know, people that do know who you are and keep you true to yourself. You know, because in pageants, now this is the wonderful thing about them, they will gas you and make you feel like you are the best thing walking since oxygen. And it's great, but sometimes it's like, okay, girl, your stuff does not smell like roses, and roses do stink. So, like, it's good to have, you know, because you will get caught up. We're women. I see it all the time, and especially in the industry that I'm in, you walk in a room and you immediately are like, she's taller than me, she's thinner than me, her hair is nicer, she looks better. Oh my God, I have those pants that look better on her. Like, you just, I don't know if men do that, but we definitely do. And, you know, the comfort zone is let's gossip about it or let's, you know, and it's very easy to get in that and get into rumors and, you know, the controversies and the dramas, but it's just good to, like, stay grounded, have people that keep you, you know, kind of keep you in check. I think that was tremendous for me. I had my pageant friends, and then I had my, like, life friends, and I kept both of them.
Well, okay. I'm glad you mentioned the thing about gossip. This is a little bit of a deviation, but I do want to talk to you about it, because working in the entertainment industry, gossip, it can be a dark cloud that pollutes production. And one thing that I really noticed about you when we judged Miss South Carolina was that everything that you said was edifying. You specifically, I never heard you gossip. I never heard you engage in anything. Like, you're really measured in the things that you said, and you carried yourself with, like, this sense of integrity. And so how do you hold on to that? Because being in pageants is an environment that, like, breeds gossip, and being in production is also an environment that breeds gossip. So how do you carry yourself the way that you do?
This probably sounds very, like, granola-ish, but it's really just the way I was raised. It just really is. The way that my parents raised us is very old school, in that if one of us got in trouble, all of us got in trouble. It's your fault that one went nut jobs and went off the
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Richter scale. So since y'all let him go off the Richter scale, everybody in trouble. Like, you know what I mean? But the beauty of that lesson, it taught you, like, checks and balances. You know, I'm watching out for you. I'm looking out for you. I'm keeping you straight so that I can be straight. It just taught us that no matter who you're around, there are certain values and things that we're going to uphold. And I don't care how big you get or where you're at, you leave here like you have some home training and like you have people to be accountable to. And so for me, integrity is just that. Like, I'm not going to sit, and also like an energy thing. I just really believe in what you give out is what you get back. And if I'm spewing out like all this negativity and I'm talking about you bad, or I know something is getting ready to happen to you and I don't tell you what's happening, or I know that there's a conversation going on that can either harm you or help you, and I'm here, I'm going to help you, because I have been on the receiving end of that, of somebody that didn't have my back, or I was in the lion's den and everybody knew it and nobody was like, the lion's right there. You know what I mean? So for me, it's just, I really do move like, I want to treat people, and I want to be and create situations and environments of safety like I would want somebody to do for me. I want people to feel safe around me. And that's more than just, I make you feel good. That's also, you're safe to speak and be who you are. This is not a judgmental space. But when it comes to other people specifically, I really do like to create environments that I would want to be a part of. So
yes. And that was the thing that I felt like was so refreshing meeting.
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. But
yeah, you're fun and you will say the truth. But like, safe is a great word. Like, I always felt like everybody's safe with you. Okay. So one thing I also want to talk about is you have this incredible career in film and television. I mean, it's so exciting, you know, like what you do. How do you think pageants prepared you for that? And is there any advice that you would give a contestant of like, take hold of this opportunity because this is what you can parlay it into?
Yeah. But it's helped me because, again, personality types. And I am very blessed to be a key on a core team. You really do need to know your stuff. You really do need to be ready. You need to be fire ready, as my department head often says, you know. And so I'm being prepared and just always staying up on things. And I got that. Pageants definitely helped nurture that, because in my time of competing, you had to be disciplined and you had to be prepared. It was like you had to set goals and stick to them. And you had to be prepared to deal with all different personality types, because should you win, you are now representing an entire brand that preceded you. So you are dealing with people that they don't really care if you had the flu, you broke up with your boyfriend, and your mom and dad cut you off. I still want you to sign these autographs and show up and be really pretty, because I don't know that, but I know Miss So-and-so. And my job is very much that way. When you step in this trailer, the earth could have opened up and like imploded. But we need cast to set 42 minutes. And it's got to be correct. So, and the PA is going to come knock on the door and be like, so how long was that? 2 minutes after the last time you came over here and asked me that. You know, and so that pressure of, but you still have to be professional. You still have to, you know, execute your job. You cannot be overly emotional. You have to still, your skill set still has to be on par. Because if your job slips, now it's a trickle down effect. If you are not on your job, pageants will teach you that. You have one time to get this thing right. If you flub it up or you don't do what you're supposed to do, it's a trickle down effect. So pageants really just taught me how to like clear the mechanism. I don't know if anybody is, I think that's Field of Dreams. It was a Kevin baseball movie. And he was a pitcher. And he would always talk about when he would get on that mound, he would clear the mechanism. And it's like, I have one job right now. And that is to get the ball over the plate. And pageants taught me how to get the ball over no matter what is going on around you, people, places, and things. And that has served me really, really well in pageants. And even in my transition back into my job post pageants, again, it's about, okay, I'm setting a goal. Let me clear the mechanism. Okay, what are the resources that I have? Let me get that together. And it really helps you to goal set your intentions, get your things together, get in a routine and a plan to execute it, and then execute. At least if you're doing very well in pageants, you know how to do that. You know how to set a goal. This is what I need to do. Prep for it. Execute the goal. And that is how, whether it was my job, pageants, going back into my job from pageants and just really trying to escalate my career once pageants were done and I really wanted to do it in a big way, I approached it the way I would approach a pageant. Yeah. Who is it that I need to know? This is where I want to go in my career. This is where I need to be. These are the things I have. These are the things I don't. I need to work on these things. And then I did that. That was a pageant prep. I pageant prepped my life many, many times. So I'm actually doing it again right now. So pageants were really, really great at me just clearing the mechanism and going for it no matter what's happening around. And it's allowed me to move pretty swiftly in my career pursuits as a result.
It's so crazy. Just as you were talking, I was just thinking about how similar a production environment can be to pageants. And I know we talked about a little bit, but I would love to go back to it because especially being in hair and makeup, like you are in an opportunity to hear a lot of gossip. And I feel like a lot of pageant environment can be fueled with gossip, whether it's directors or coaches or whatever. Can you just, I would say maybe like encourage the listener.
Yep.
You rise above it and some of the downfalls that you've seen when people do engage in gossip, like it's not a healthy pattern to be in, you know?
So I'll just share with you as key there. I do a lot of things with like staffing on our team of, okay, who needs to come in as an additional, who needs to fill in these days. And what we do take into account outside of obviously skill set and union standards and all those things is culture, work culture. What is it like having this person in this trailer? And when I say trailer, typically, unless you're in a studio setup, you are on a trailer in location. And it's a small working environment. I can't, again, going back to what we talked about earlier, what energy do you bring? And if you are here ready for the gossip, you are now changing the atmosphere, not only in this trailer, but for a cast or talent that is sitting in our chair. You don't know what they're, well, we do know what they're prepping for the day, but in terms of like a mental state to get them into character. Some people are method actors and they really just, you know, they dive in, don't call me my real name, I'm bow. And then some people are life of the party. And then some people don't speak. They're very, you know, they need their moment. Like, and it's not rude or just, it's just everybody has their process. So if you are ready to like jump on something that is so negative as gossiping, and I can only associate it with negativity because nobody's gossiping about positive things. Like that's not a, otherwise it would be called gossip, right? You're feeding a beast. It's just tough to be around that because when you start gossiping, you're usually talking about somebody's personal business or something that's private or something that's really embarrassing. It just takes you out of your game. So if I were talking to a girl, I would just go back. Gosh, I guess everything really does is very athletic with me. I'm just noticing this. But that movie cleared the mechanism. Like, hey, I got one job. I am here to get this thing done. And I need positive energy to be able to exert this later and do my job and do it in a very well way. And when I gossip, it just doesn't do that for me. It gets me off my game. I don't know what I'm doing. So if I'm clearing the mechanism and the only way here is positive, then I don't do that. When you allow those energies in, it is very distracting. It's very distracting because once you start gossiping about somebody else, now you've allowed those thoughts, those opinions in, and then eventually those opinions become how you speak to yourself. Example, if I'm in a pageant, somebody's listening to this and I'm looking at this girl and I'm looking at her weight or I've heard something that's going on that's drama and now we've all talked about it and everything and now we just tore this girl down real good. I mean, we just had a good session. Now I'm thinking about all the negative things about her. Now I have invited negative thought. It is very easy for me to now look in the mirror and be like, oh God, I look so bloated. I look so awful. Oh my God, this interview is the worst. And I know that girl was doing X, Y, and Z. That's the energy that you have surrounded yourself with. But I would just encourage girls, like what you feed into is what comes back to you.
Yeah.
It just really does. I mean, I have not hired people because they gossip. We just know it. We know they're going to come in the trailer and that your business is about to be, you don't want to say certain things around them. You don't want to do because you already know it's going to get repeated. So I would just tell a girl, like, think about the energy that you want to put out, because it is going to come back to you. So just keep your mechanism clear. You're there for one job. Whatever your goal is, get the ball across the plate. Gossip is not a part of it. I promise you are not. You're paying a lot of money. You are not there to gossip.
Yeah.
I promise you're not.
That is, you know, a good, what I mean? Word. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, if pageants are really about women empowerment, I've heard every pageant from any system, the biggest catchword is empowerment. Then that means if you are clearing the mechanism and you are here for one goal and it's empowerment, that's not it. It's just, I don't care what your goal is when you're there, that's not one of them. It's just not, it shouldn't be.
It's so, you know?
Yes. Those are such wise words of wisdom. Thank you, Kristen. I so appreciate you being here. Guys, you know, this episode has been a bit different, but I just respect Kristen so much. She is an incredibly successful woman in the entertainment industry, which can be hard and cutthroat and scary. So if you have an interest in a career in the industry, I would definitely take Kristen's words to heart. Carry yourself with integrity, clear the mechanism, and don't let anything stand in the way of your goals. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode as much as I have. I'm just so thankful to have gleaned from Kristen and her incredible life experience. And I'm so excited because I have more wonderful guests lined up who are incredibly insightful and will be beneficial to you and your pageant journey. So be sure to follow along and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. And as always, if you're looking for personalized guidance, I'm here to help. You can find me on Instagram at the Pageant Masterclass, or visit us at pageantmasterclass.com. All the info is in the show notes as well. I would love to work with you on creating that undeniable package that lets the judges know you're the queen they're looking for. This has been a Front Row Entertainment production.